Good morning. How is everybody? Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. We're going to stand and worship. Join us in doing that. Here we go. On top of grace. See ya. talk with prophetic. So we're going to see who can stop the Lord Almighty. That's our prayer this morning. Although we already know the answer, it's nobody. Sing it out. Who can stop? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Well, our God is the Lion.
Amen. Have a seat. Good morning. Good morning. We can do better than that. Good morning. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here, and I want to welcome you to our launch service. It is a blessing to be with all of you in worship today as we celebrate the power of the Holy Spirit. In case you didn't notice, it seems the Holy Spirit's really heavily concentrated right over here this morning. Those are pastors' kids, by the way. If you are visiting with us today, welcome home. We're glad to have you here at Asbury. We're glad to have you in this service, and we hope that you find this time to be loving and Spirit-filled. So now that we have got the kids and the band's amazing all riled up and fired up, we're going to send them to Kids Club. So that's for our kids ages 3 through 2nd grade. They're going to make their way to the back door there, and they'll head to their own special worship service. While that is happening, let's stand up. Let's extend a hand of peace to our neighbors and tell them you're glad to see them this morning. Okay, so as we come back together and refocus and recenter our hearts for worship, you know, one of the things for those of you that may have missed it, one of the things we're doing now is we're keeping our third through fifth graders in the worship service with us. And so far it's been just an amazing experience. They've helped us read scripture, they've helped us usher, they've helped us do so many things. And one of the things about having them in here is I think we take that seriously and we teach them a lot about what it means to be a Christian in our faith. So one of the things that we're going to start doing in here on the last Sunday of every month, and we're going to start it this week, is we're going to say our affirmation of faith together. So if you would, please stand. The words are on the screen, and we'll do this in lieu of our recentering prayer. And then the band will roll right into the next song. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Catholic Church, in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath. give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. And we sing unto you. Great are you, Lord. It's your
My name is Greg Stansel. A lot of your kids for 16 years now have known me as Mr. Greg. I've been kind of teaching in the children's wing in the last 6 years, have had the pleasure to teach the Bible and teach them how to use their Bibles. Brother Nick asked me to come up this morning to talk about a little bit about a faith journey, because faith isn't a one-time happening. It's a journey. And with that, though, there's this little thing called stone soup. See, stone soup was something that was formed by a whole group of churches and got together on an Easter Sunday in 1985. From 1985 till this day, where Asbury will serve at Stone Soup. Every Sunday, snow, wind, rain, doesn't matter. People of faith showed up to serve those in need, those hungry, those underserved. But to say a faith journey, it really doesn't start there. You know, as Christians, we can be Sunday Christians, but we strive to get out from beyond that. You know, I have a few different points in my life that are just so key to my faith. As a gangbanger, I had a girl come up to me, took my hand, and said, "Would you join our Bible study?" That probably started a change that has left me all these years with a deep desire. Then to be saved and be with a group of businessmen, competitors, businessmen, that were trying to hire me away. And Jesus came, and I took the Lord into my life. There comes a moment we all can say that we were saved. But to reach across in a Denny's restaurant and hold people's hands that you didn't know too well, and the men prayed with me, started me on a journey. 1985, Stone Soup was formed. By 1989, I was kind of at a loss. I was a Sunday Christian. I didn't know what God wanted me to do. I didn't know how to take that next step. And at Geyer Springs United Methodist Church, a person, a lay member, stood up in the pulpit and made this simple plea. We're going to go feed the homeless today. We don't have enough people. Anybody want to help? We need you. I made a commitment sitting in church to myself that I would go down and try it. Now, as anybody, myself included, can say, when you step out of your comfort zone, when you're doing things you've never done before, when you're trying to let the Lord come into your life, you're scared to death. Well, I showed up down at Quapaw United Methodist Church, and as one of nine people to serve that day, I'd never done anything like that before. Over 100 people came in and it ministered to me. But let me tell you what really ministered to me. Before we started, the supervisor had us all circled up and hold hands. And she said, "Lord, we don't have the strength, the tools to do what you need us to do. But Lord, we know that if we open ourselves to you, you will grant us the strength." I did things that day I had never, ever done. I am a very shy person. I don't like being in the limelight. But that was 1989. 30 years later, I'm still on that journey. Been working at Stone Soup now for 30 years. I've been a supervisor there for 16 years. I learned something. God does not minister through all these missions that the church has in places like Stone Soup. He does not mention ministry just to those you go and work with. I have seen with my eyes, heard with my ears, prayed with those that are members within this church that had a transformative experience and went on to do other things in other ministries, who stayed with Stone Soup. Some of my great friends that will be there today, along with our youth. Asbury has a lot of ministries. Stone Soup is one of those that is not Greg's ministry. It is God's ministry. Anytime any of you want to come work, just look in your heart. You will never be asked to do something you cannot do. I thank you for this opportunity, because this is a ministry, this is a process within me that doesn't stop today, because I'll guarantee you one thing. 16 years ago, I started being a teacher here. I had never taught. If I had not stepped up and that day in 89, gone to Stone Soup, I really wonder if God would have continued to kind of say, hey, why don't you try this? So I thank you. My last thing, and I thought I brought my brochure up here. Carol Godwin, if Carol's in here today, I don't know for sure. If you ever ask, Carol Godwin's got all sorts of mission data on every mission that this church does. But don't just worry about those missions. If God impresses on your heart to do something, do it. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Greg. Guys, that's not easy to do. And of course, we have Stone Soup again today, which is at 1:30, I believe, correct, down at Quapaw UMC. So I really hope that if you are able to, you can join us. It'll be my first one. It'll be Dee Dee's first one. We are very excited to be down there and to be part of it. As we receive these tithes and offerings this morning, let's go to God in prayer. Almighty God, we give thanks to you. We give thanks to you for the Greg Stanzels and for others who you have moved, God, who you have transformed and led down a path that has impacted so many. We know that a lot of times when we think about giving, we think about what we need to do for our church, for our building, and for our lights, and for our equipment and our facilities. And God, that is part of this process. But we also know that we are transforming lives as people walk through the doors of this church and as we go out into the community. And we ask that you keep us mindful of that as we give our resources today. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.
Let go, my soul. they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal the sign, to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Almighty God, creator of all, we give thanks to you for this day. We give thanks to you for this opportunity that we may come together as a community of believers to worship you openly and freely. God, we come into this space today seeking to hear your message, seeking to be transformed, because we know the task that you have for us is mighty in this world. And so we come today to receive your instruction, to come together as a fellowship of believers and to be in community and fellowship and love with one another. And God, this morning we pray for all of those who don't know you. We pray for those who wake up each day and see the world and take it at face value and think that that is all there is. God, we ask that you continue to work through us in those spaces where we can shed light that there is something greater than the cycle they are stuck in. God, we pray this morning for all of our global brothers and sisters around the world, those who wake up and just can't freely come to a nice church, sit in the air conditioning and comfortable seats, that move in fear, but they also move in love and grace because they move for you. Now, this morning we know that you have a powerful message, a message that we all need to hear. And for that to happen, God, you have to take center stage. Move me out of the way, take over, and let this message be yours. Filter me out of it. God, we ask all of this in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we are, and you'll have to forgive me. I'm having one of those mornings where it seems like no matter how much water I drink, I'm perpetually thirsty. Does that make sense? No. As the pastor, as I'm up here taking drinks of water, please afford me some grace and some latitude this morning as I seek to constantly refill and quench my thirst. You know, we're at the end of our series here, this three-week series called Great Expectations. And I tell you, I think it's been pretty fantastic. These first couple of weeks, we've talked a lot about the life of the early church and about the principles that they were founded on, this koinonia, this fellowship, where they just came together in love and in prayer and in communion, and their numbers were growing and they were growing and they were growing. This week we're doing a little bit of a transition, and as the scripture so beautifully said, these Christians were praying for boldness. Well, why were they praying for boldness? It's because they're about to go through a big period of transition. So I want to talk about transition this morning. I love being in church with all of you. I love the way it feels to be in worship with you. I love the way it feels to sing these songs, and the band has been amazing this morning. I love that we have people like Greg Stanzel that can get up and talk about his faith story. Today is going to be a great day. But what I want to talk to you about is not today. I want to talk to you about tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow when that alarm clock goes off on Monday morning and you have to get back to your normal life? And I don't know what time your alarm clock goes off, but you're going to get up and you're going to have to do something. You're either going to go to a job or you're going to go to school. Or maybe you have to wake up and it's just this whirlwind trying to get a bunch of kids out the door and sandwiches made. And as long as the shoes match, then good enough and we get them out the door, right? But something is going to happen tomorrow that just feels a whole lot different than what you're feeling right now, sitting in church and in worship together. The early church went through this as well. So for many of you, you're going to wake up tomorrow, you're going to go to a job, and some of you may go to a job that you absolutely love, and it's just exciting to get up every day and go. Some of you might wake up and go to a job that you absolutely hate, and you don't understand why you're there. You don't understand what the purpose is of what you're doing. This feels menial. I was not meant to do this. Some of you may wake up and go to school and be excited to be there. You love your teachers. You're seeing your friends. It's fun. Some of you may wake up and just dread it because maybe school life has been tough. Maybe you've got a case of the senioritis and you're just ready to be done. Maybe you're taking classes you don't like. Either way, whether you get up every morning and you love what you do, or you get up every morning and you can't stand what you do, God has a very specific plan for what he has you doing right now. So why did they pray for boldness? Well, to understand that, we need to know kind of how we got there. We left Acts last week in verse 47, where we talked about those elements of community and fellowship, and now we transition into chapter 3, and things begin to look very different for the first church. It's a day of prayer. It's the hour of prayer, forgive me, in Jerusalem. And Peter and John are heading to the temple to pray. And they get to the gate, and they get to the beautiful, it's called the beautiful gate. And there is a man on the ground, a crippled man, asking for alms, asking for food, asking for money. And he's been there every single day for his entire life. In fact, people carry him there, place them there, and then that's what he does. He's there and he begs for alms. And so Peter and John happen by, and they see this man, and they look at him, and he looks at them, and they look at him, and he looks at them. You know how sometimes you get to that street corner, and there's somebody there begging, and you know, you see the people that roll up their window real quick, right? But if you make eye contact, they come over and talk to you, you get a chance to engage them. Well, this is the same scenario. And so the man looks up, and he says, oh, these guys are about to talk to me. And Peter very plainly says to him, look at us. He says, look up, look at us. And the man looks up expecting to receive alms, expecting to receive some type of food or money. And what Peter says is, I do not have silver and gold, but all I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now stand up and walk. And Peter takes him by the right hand, lifts him up, and all of a sudden, just his ankles and his knees and feet and everything that had failed him in his life came right into working. He jumped right up, and in 40 years of just laying there, it's gone. He's been healed. And so this man did what you would expect anybody to do when that happens. He gets so excited. He is running. He's jumping around. He is going into the temple with Peter, and he is praising God because he has been healed and he has been restored. And so they carry on into the temple. They have this man with them that's just carrying on and carrying on. And that's going to attract some attention, right? So it does attract attention. Peter gets in there and talks and says, look, you see this man. You've seen him out in front of your temple for years, and he can walk now. This was not done by me. It wasn't me touching him. This was done by faith in Jesus Christ. And so it draws attention in Peter and John. What happens to them? Those of you who know the story, Peter and John get arrested, don't they? They get arrested and they're forced to stay overnight in a jail, and then they are hauled in front of the high court in Jerusalem, whatever that is. It's the Supreme Court of Jerusalem. And they go before the Sadducees, right? Who are we've heard so much about the Pharisees in the Gospels. The Sadducees were the people who, they were the high authority. They were the priestly people. They were the people. But there's two things you need to know about them. Number one, they didn't believe in miracles. And number two, they didn't believe in the resurrection. So they have men going around healing people, performing miracles, claiming that we are doing this in the name of a resurrected Jesus, the one you killed. And so they are brought before this court, and really what they desire is nothing more than for Peter and John and the rest of the apostles to just stop. Stop doing this. You are creating a problem. You have to stop. And so Peter says something really, really profound, because they ask him, they say, by what power, by what name do you do this? And Peter says, rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who is sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builder, and it has become the cornerstone. He was saying that you are the chosen people of God. You were the ones who were called to build the kingdom, and yet you rejected the cornerstone that your entire faith is built upon. This was an amazing show of faith by Peter, an amazing show of character. See, Peter's the perfect person to really kind of look at how character works in our lives, in our world. Remember how I talked about getting up and going to a job and just not understanding the meaning and purpose of what you're doing? Well, there's two ways you can go in our world when we're not at church. And both of them, Peter has embodied at one point or another. There's two types of character. There is the Peter who stands before the high court and bolden in his faith and says, I do all things through Jesus Christ. And then there's also the Peter who denied Jesus three times before he got nailed to the cross. See, character and integrity, when it comes to our faith and what we do in the world, is the way that people see us reflected in the world. For those of you that don't know, I spent 20 years before becoming one of your pastors in the restaurant business. And I wrestled with that for a really long time because I did not believe that God had called me to do that. And I didn't believe that there was any way that I was doing what I was meant to be doing. I saw my work as so menial. Like, really, are you kidding me? This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life? I'm going to sell hamburgers? And so I drug through my day, and I drug through my day for a long time. And it took until I met an individual here in Arkansas in that company that showed me. It was that Christ-turning moment that I understood that it wasn't what I was doing, but it was what I should be doing with people while I was there. I had a lot of people that I worked with each day and had an opportunity to impact them in a Christ-like way. So all of a sudden, the work I was doing, whatever that might have been, took a back seat to my mission in the world as a disciple. I viewed it and said, is there a way that I can impact others through what I'm doing? And it was by an outward show of my faith. So this character and this idea of character and integrity, it can go one of two ways as you move into the world. And it's tough because you go in the world and you go into work tomorrow, go around the water cooler. They'll probably find a conversation about fantasy football. You'll probably find a conversation about kids' soccer games. You'll probably find a conversation about what went on at the lake this weekend. Be the guy that walks up and says, hey, what about that Jesus fella? And see how that goes. I think you will kill that conversation pretty quickly. But that's part of the issue, and that's part of the thing we face. And it was the same thing the early Christians faced. The easiest thing for the Sadducees would be to push the Christian faith to the margins and push it as much out of their society as they could so it wasn't raising a stink. Does it sound familiar? And so we have this severe issue as we move about our world today where it's taboo to talk openly about our faith. But God calls us to do it because we never know when a life is going to change. One of the issues we run into is that we have a desire to be liked. We just do. And that comes from being loved by God. We are holy and fully loved, and we love Him back. And so there's this natural feeling to be liked in the world. And there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. To want to have friends and to want to be liked, as long as it doesn't make us sell out our faith. So one of the things we have to think that's really important is as you go through your day beyond Sundays, are we reflecting Jesus in that image, or are we trying to give Jesus a makeover to fit into our culture? Because I promise you, Jesus doesn't need a makeover. He is absolutely good on his own. And so with character, Peter moves forward, and the Sadducees are frustrated because this guy just will not quit. Like, what do we have to do to get this guy to stop, to be quiet? And the other thing that shocked them, and this is right here in verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. These were ordinary men. These weren't men that had been to seminaries. They didn't have high degrees, okay? They weren't rich. They didn't make this great living. They were just regular, ordinary fishermen. Probably wore sackcloth and stunk, but they knew that Bible. They were quoting it. They knew their scripture. They were well-educated in their faith and in their love for Christ, and Jesus was doing a mighty act through them. This is a perspective thing, and that's another important thing as we move through our week. Is perspective. As you're going through and doing what you're doing, are you able to see what God is doing in your life? What God is placing in front of you each and every day? Those moments of impact, those little moments of impact as you're shuffling to your job going, another day. Do you see the impact that you can make? Or are we caught up in an us thing, in our own feelings of, I can't believe I'm stuck in this position. God, will you help me? And so something that's very, very important to note, and the Sadducees, they don't know what to do with these guys. They're like, will you just stop? And they're like, no, we're not going to stop. We live for Christ, and we live for Christ alone. Because it would have been easier for them to go out in the world and just be around people and say, you know what, yeah, with God, there's a bunch of different ways to God. It's okay. We all have our own beliefs and our own spiritual needs, our own systems. But God made it very clear for us that through Christ there becomes one way. Peter and John knew that, and they knew how important it was to spread the word. Their numbers grew by 5,000 in this passage. So let's think about over the last 3 weeks. We've added 5,000. Last week we added 3,000. They started with 120. So pastor math, what is that, 8,120? Very good. See, they were taking attendance in church even back then. But it was 8,120, and something that's very important to remember was it says 8,120 men. Well, why does it say that? Because back then they only counted men when they were doing any kind of census. So that does not account for any women or children that were included in that crowd. So you have to assume that number is much higher. Peter knew what was at stake. But I want to give you something very, very interesting. It says later on in that passage that for the man whom the sign of healing had been performed on, this was our guy at the beginning, was more than 40 years old. He was more than 40 years old when Peter and John healed him. And he was laying in front of the temple every single day. What does that mean? That means that for many, many days, many times, Jesus walked right past him and didn't heal him. One of the things we misunderstand sometimes about our faith is just that Jesus went around just healing everybody and performing miracles left and right. Well, he didn't. Jesus did not heal everybody. Because it just, and you think about it, Jesus probably walked by that guy and said, man, I promise you, your day is coming. And it did. We are made whole. We are healed in Jesus' time, in God's time. As you're moving through your day and you're stuck in a job or stuck at a school that maybe you don't like, you just don't see the purpose of what you're doing. Just understand and trust that God has a master plan for you and for your life. It took me 40 years to get to this position. And I went through a lot of things that I didn't understand. I went through a lot of things that just didn't make sense to me for God to bring me here to this point. And he does that with all of us. But we have to understand that we can't be impatient because it happens on God's time. So how do we do that? It brings us to the end of our passage this morning. The believers get together. Once Peter and John are set free, they go back, and what do they immediately do? They pray. They pray for boldness. They pray as a community. And what's most notable about this prayer, something I want you guys to understand, they don't go and just go, oh, Almighty God, please help me, I'm in this pickle. Because it is a pickle. This is a transition from the early church where it's just growing and all these miracles, all these Holy Spirits happen, into a time of persecution that is going to last for hundreds of years. And it's only going to get worse. It's only going to get more violent. So they pray because they know that things are about to get really tough. And when you go to God and you know things are tough and you need a way through it, understand who you're praying to. Bella read this so well, but they said, you know, their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and everything in them. They didn't start out by saying, oh, God, help me. They recognized who they were praying to. This is the God, this is the Lord of all creation. They gave him the respect he was due. And then what they asked for was not, God, help us, help me fix these problems. They asked for God's will to be worked in their lives. And what they received was they received that refill, that free refill of the Holy Spirit that we get every single time we go to God in prayer. And so as we wrap up this morning, I want you to do me a favor. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, if you start your morning with a prayer, pray to God, God of all creation, please work your will in my life today. Whatever that is, I am ready for it. And then let the Holy Spirit go to work. Amen? Let us pray. Almighty God, we give thanks to you for this time together, for hearing your word and hearing your instruction. God, we are so thankful that we have this community of believers that we can lean on, God. We love each other dearly. We would do anything for each other. But we also know that above all, we have to listen to you. And that our way is the one way, which is through your Son. So as we move from this place today, God, empower us with your Holy Spirit to head to Stone Soup and serve, to head back into our lives, and to truly reflect Christ in the world. We ask all this in your Son's holy name. Amen. If the Holy Spirit has spoken with you today and laid something on your heart, it might be a good day to act on it. If a good day to proclaim your faith, a good day to join the church, we can do all of those things. We have prayer kneelers down here if you'd like to use them as the band gets ready to play this final song. Or maybe you just want to sing to a holy God. That's great as well. I'll be down here if anybody wants to pray with me. But let's be standing as we sing this final song. Overwhelmed by the weight. It's been great being with you today. Just a couple of quick announcements before we get out of here. Number one, if we were going to do acolyte training today, we're not able to do that. Laura is still out as she recovers. Next week, we are doing one service at 10 o'clock, and there's a misprint in your bulletin because we ran the bulletins early. But that 10 o'clock service will actually be here in the WAC instead of in the sanctuary. We'll set up the coffee and donuts over there, and we'll just have a relaxing, wonderful time of worship together. And then on September 8th, we will be back in here at our normal time, doing our normal thing, where we'll start a new sermon series. We're going to do 4 weeks together, walking with God through the book of Esther. As you leave this place, serve your God with patience and passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the spirit that moves within you, and may peace be your way in the world. Go in peace.